Hey everyone, it's Deb. I'm a dating coach, and you're listening to my podcast, Debbie Does Dating. Today's episode is Divorce and Taxes with Andrea Winkler.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clausen. Sponsored by Dating by Deb.
Okay, I'm lucky enough to be friends with many CPAs, one of which is Andrea, and I'm so excited that she agreed to come and help us out here. I've learned a ton from all of them, and Andrea, thanks for helping me today. Thanks for coming on my podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And the reason I think that this is an important topic to go over is because of my own experience. But first, I'm going to ask you to share with us your awkward dating moment.
Oh, yes. So I had to really go back deep in the recesses of my brain.
Okay, this should be good.
Because I've been married for 20 years now. Mm-hmm. So it's been a long time since I've dated anybody besides my spouse. And although he is sometimes awkward, mostly we don't create awkward dating moments. So I did think of one. I remember back in college, this guy asked me to go to a play, I think it was, with him. And I said, sure, great. And we get there, and he doesn't have his wallet. Oh. And so our friends were with us, and he's like begging his friend to pay for us.
Oh, no.
Dude, I'll just pay you back. It's fine. And his friend's like, I know how you pay back. You never pay back. Oh. And I'm like, why am I on this date?
How embarrassing for him.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And you. So did they pay?
His friend ended up, I'm like, I can pay. No, you're not paying. And yeah, his friend paid for us. And
his friend was probably like, yeah, let her pay.
Yeah, probably. And maybe we shouldn't be friends. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that would be super awkward. Awkward mm-hmm. for both of you.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, like your family life, your hobbies, things like that.
Yeah, so I have all daughters. All my kids are girls. And they're starting to be old.
but you're not,
but
of course.
Oh, no, heavens, no. No, my oldest just went to college, which is so exciting. She's going to follow in my footsteps and be accountant as well.
Oh, she is.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then my other two are, one's in high school, one's in middle school. But we have a lot of fun together. We do a lot of fun family trips and
yes,
we
I do know
play
your
hard.
Girls, and they are fun.
Yes, they are fun. We're planning another Rim to Rim Grand Canyon hike this coming summer. So,
do you do that every year?
Nope. It's been 2 years since we did it last time when my husband broke his foot in the bottom.
Oh,
so,
oh,
we had to have some recovery.
So, he's going again?
Yes, he has to have a redemption tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
To make it without breaking anything?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Good.
Hopefully, it goes that way.
I'm sure it will. What else do you like to do?
Love to play tennis. I love to drink Diet Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
Ice cold.
Oh,
especially fountain.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll drink a can if I'm desperate, but mm-hmm. yeah, I love me a nice ice cold Diet Pepsi.
Nice.
Yep.
I think you like anything.
Puzzles.
You are a fun person.
I pretty much just enjoy everything in life. For sure.
Something that you guys don't know since we revealed that we do work at the same place at the moment.
Oh. Dang it.
No. I wasn't trying to hide it.
Oh, okay.
What Andrea does, she like fills the office with, she's just with joy. She'll be walking down the hall and be humming or whistling. No, you don't whistle, just hum.
Mostly sing or hum.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I've been known to hum in the public restroom. Often with other people in the stall next to me.
I got
no shame.
You create those awkward moments for others.
Heck yes,
That's
I
so
do.
Nice.
I'm proud of it. It's totally fine.
Okay. What made you decide to go into accounting?
I actually had a wandering path into accounting. Mm-hmm. I worked at a lot of different places doing different things. And throughout that time, I started finding things that I loved in the different places. So doing inventory control, revamping computer system to mm-hmm. track things correctly.
Okay.
And my husband actually had just finished his master's degree in school counseling. And he was like, hey, you know what? I think you'd really like accounting. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, everything you've loved about these different jobs is like accounting. I'm like, okay. I'll give it a shot. I love puzzles. I love figuring things out. And so I went back to school, and my first accounting class, I was like, this is awesome.
Wow.
I absolutely love it.
Were you surprised that you loved it so much?
Not really, but a little bit, yeah. Because I didn't feel like I had that experience, but I actually did. Looking back on my career, I did a lot of jobs that really were accounting. I just didn't call them accounting.
Yeah.
And
that
so,
makes sense.
Yeah, but it was good.
Oh, good. Yeah. So how long have you been a CPA? And by the way, this is one thing I did not know what a CPA stood for. Until I actually worked there. It's a certified public accountant.
Yes, it's a certified public accountant, and you have to take some big, hairy, scary tests that you have to study a ton for.
And is that what separates an accountant from a certified public accountant?
Yeah, so...
The testing?
Yep, it's the certification and the licensure. Okay. It's kind of like being a dental assistant versus being a dentist.
Oh,
kind of
okay.
thing. Or okay. like a different category. So, yeah, as a certified public accountant, you have to take a bunch of exams to get that licensure.
Okay. And how long ago did you?
So I passed my last section, I believe it was in 2013. So it's been a while.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I'm not old.
Yes, of
we
course.
Established
of course.
That first.
Of course. You were a genius.
Yeah.
And you were doing it because your husband suggested it and you were married at 12.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I already had all my kids.
Nice.
Yeah, I was an early bloomer.
Okay, you're currently working?
Yes, currently working at Davis & Bott CPAs in Brigham City.
Where you are also a partner.
Yes, and the only female partner, first and only
Yay,
so far,
Andrea!
But we're getting there.
Woo-hoo!
Yes, it's exciting.
That's awesome. So the reason I felt like this was an important topic to discuss is my experience with taxes when I got divorced kind of felt like I was picked up, taken out of my familiar surroundings and dropped off in a foreign land. Like I had no idea. I didn't understand anything. And I kind of actually felt dumb asking questions because I thought maybe I should know. But in my situation, my husband did all of that, which I would suggest that you share things. So
at least talk about it.
Yeah. So you're just not out, not knowing what's going on. But it was actually pretty much the same with everything. Not just taxes. So we're going to start with the basics. I told you guys what a CPA was, so you're welcome.
You know what? There's lots of people that don't know what that means, honestly. You're not alone.
Okay. So we're going to start with the basics. A lot of you already know this stuff, but I want to help those that were maybe in my similar situation. So the terms that I wasn't aware of, I was actually a stay-at-home mom for 18 years. And then after I got divorced, I had to get out into the workforce. So tell us, what's a W-4?
Yeah, so we could have an entire podcast about how to fill out a W-4.
I think that might be helpful.
What it really means and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So they've recently changed it. The IRS has recently changed the W-4 and made it, I feel like, more confusing in an effort to try to make it simplified.
I was hoping you'd say more user-friendly. No.
Well, I mean, in some ways, in some ways it is more user-friendly if you understand everything that's happening on it.
Okay.
But there's way more questions and way more calculations you have to do yourself now on the W-4. But basically what that is it's the form that you fill out when you're going to start a new job, and it helps your employer, so your person that you're hiring on with, it helps them know how much they need to withhold from your paychecks for taxes.
All right. Okay, then what does withholding mean?
Yes, good question. So this is another one that people super struggle with.
Okay.
A lot of people don't understand what's happening on withholdings. So when you have your paycheck, you look at the gross earnings that you have, right? And then people go, holy crap, I pay so much taxes and my net check is so much smaller, which oftentimes it is. But there's a lot of different parts to that. So you have FICA taxes, which are your like payroll taxes that you have to pay your side of that. So that's your Social Security and your Medicare. Now, no matter who you are, you have to pay those if you're
Everyone
an employee.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And so then beyond that, you may have withholdings. So what withholdings are is your employer will withhold money from your check.
Okay.
For either federal and or state, could be both.
Uh-huh.
And then they pay that into the agency on your behalf. So as you're going along, you're earning money. They're withholding that money. They're sending it to the IRS. They're sending it to the state for you. That's you paying your taxes throughout the year. Then when you file your tax return, there's a reconciliation process that happens, and you get credit for all of that money that your employer has paid in for you on your behalf.
And that
will affect how much you owe or if you get a refund at the end of the year when you file your taxes.
Oh, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's lots of people who feel like they pay a ton of taxes in for withholdings and they get these huge refunds and they really don't pay any. They just have a lot of credits that come off.
Oh, yeah.
And they end up having refundable credits or whatever. So
really everybody is different. I mean, they have different situations.
Absolutely. And there's tons of moving parts.
Sheesh, I have like way more respect for you even after you gave me that answer. That's something I didn't really understand. So great.
Most people don't.
That's an awesome explanation. not awesome that the government takes our money. So what are deductions?
That's a really great question as well. So there's a lot of people that don't really understand deductions either. Mm-hmm. On the old W-4 form, you used to write in how many dependents you had. That was called an exemption.
Oh.
They've gotten away with that. And people just called it deduction instead of exemption all the time. So there's tons of confusion with that. What a deduction really is on your tax return, those are the items that you use to get from your income to your taxable income. The most common ones would be the standard deduction that you get just because. Like you don't have to spend any money. You don't have to report anything extra or exciting. It's all based on your filing status, and it's called the standard deduction.
Okay.
The other option is, of the main ones, itemized deductions. If the total of your itemized deductions is higher than the standard deduction, then most of the time we would take the itemized deduction. Now, there is some calculations that we do that sometimes you benefit more on the state, depending on how much different it is, and there's a lot of things that goes into it. But generally, itemized deductions would be things like mortgage interest, charitable deductions, or donations, charitable donations, real estate taxes, stuff like that.
Okay.
Medical, but medical is crazy because it has to be above this percentage of your income and they change it. And
is that a whole nother podcast?
It's a whole nother podcast. Absolutely. Okay. So if medical is your only itemized deduction, you're probably not getting there.
Oh, okay.
So just keep that in mind.
Okay.
That's what deductions are. Then you have credits. And credits, instead of reducing your income to become taxable income. So you get to your taxable income, you figure out how much your tax is based on your taxable income, right? Once you have your tax number, credits come off of your tax. And some credits are refundable and some are not refundable. So if it's a non-refundable credit, let's say you don't have any tax liability because your your income is low enough that there's no tax.
Okay.
Well, if you don't have refundable credits, you don't get a refund because your tax is already zero.
Okay.
But if, say, you have a tax liability of $10,000 and you have non-refundable credits, that will bring your tax liability down.
Oh, okay.
And you'll owe less tax.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And then your withholdings that we already talked about earlier, once you've done the calculation on your tax return to figure out your tax, all your credits and stuff, then we apply your withholdings to that. So if your tax liability is zero and you have $5,000 withheld, you get that whole $5,000 refunded back to you.
Oh, okay.
Because you've paid it in throughout the year, you don't actually owe it, you get it back.
Okay.
If you haven't paid enough in, then that's when you owe.
Oh, okay.
So it's a whole reconciliation process.
Wow.
And the biggest credits that most people see that make a large impact on your tax return are your child tax credits.
Yes.
And then if you have a low income, then earned income credit can be a big one. And sometimes that will create a refund for you even if you didn't owe any tax at all.
Okay.
So those are refundable credits.
So is it true when, like, I've heard people say, oh, I'm sick of paying taxes. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, be glad because you make enough money because you make more money.
I always say that. The only day that it sucks to make a lot of money is on tax day when you're doing that reconciliation process.
Yeah.
Every other day of the year, give me the money, you know?
Well, it's true. But don't they know if they make a certain amount of money, don't they know that they're going to have to pay taxes? And so don't you think that
if they have a good planning CPA, they do.
Exactly.
Not everybody has the resources you do, Deb.
That's so true. I feel so bad for everybody who doesn't.
Should make some good friends.
Yes.
Come see us at Davis and Bob. We'll okay. do some good planning for
yes,
you.
Yes, for sure. Because I would think that you'd like save up. I know that you guys do the tax planning mm-hmm. so that they can get a heads up on what they might owe.
For
right?
sure.
Right?
Okay. Yep, definitely. And there's lots of ways to get money in too. So like, let's say you're not an employee. Let's say you have a small business. Maybe you okay. like cut hair or you, uh-huh. you know, you have like a side
you're
hustle.
A dating coach?
You're a dating coach. You may need to pay in quarterly estimates.
Okay.
And you just do that with a voucher or online oh, okay. on the IRS's website. Mm-hmm. But we should be able to help you figure out how much that needs to be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To get you pretty close to where you would be.
Okay. I feel like that's a great thing to do.
Yes.
So that you're not just
yeah, because
paying,
if, you
like,
if you owe more than $1,000 when you go through that reconciliation process, uh-huh. then depending on how much money you owed the prior year and how much money tax you owe now, and there's some underpayment penalties and stuff that you can get into mm-hmm. because you just don't pay your tax in
oh, okay.
during the year. And most people aren't as good at budgeting as they think they are. Some mm-hmm. are. Some are awesome. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people that say, well, I'd rather keep my money during the year and have this, yeah. you know, and have to pay a whole bunch. Mm-hmm. But then they don't actually save the money.
Yeah.
because yeah. when it gets paid in, it's out of sight, out of mind. Mm-hmm. You don't think about it. But if you have to save it, sometimes people aren't
it's
that
hard.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That makes sense. So let's say in a divorce situation, after you're divorced and you're getting alimony, does alimony count towards income?
Alimony does count toward income.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's deductible on the one who pays it. Let's say you got divorced and you were the main breadwinner.
Uh-huh.
And let's say your husband was a stay-at-home dad mm-hmm. or whatever, and you ended up having to pay him alimony.
Mm-hmm.
You get to deduct what you pay out, okay. and then your ex has to pick it up as income on their return.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And is that the same with child support?
No. Child support is not taxable.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's really just supporting the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shouldn't be like a income for the spouse that is
taking care of the children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
yeah. Okay. Usually, they'll figure out how much child support to do in the divorce decree based on income and the needs of the children mm-hmm. and how old the kids are and all that
yeah.
kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really meant to be, hey, you know, I'm going to give you this child support to help you pay for health insurance
kids.
And for school fees and all
clothes
that.
And yeah. food and all the things that kids need.
As a contributing parent,
mm-hmm.
not I'm giving you money
yes.
to live on for
exactly.
yourself. That's why the alimony is taxable, child support is not.
Okay, that yeah. makes sense. That's mm-hmm. good. So what are some problems that arise with people who are divorced and filing?
So there's several things. The biggest problem that we usually see is that the one who's supposed to claim the kids
uh-huh.
doesn't end up claiming them because the other spouse claims them and files their tax return really fast.
Oh.
And then the one that's supposed to claim them, theirs gets rejected. Because if you try to e-file and more than one person tries to claim the same child,
yeah.
same social security number, like they match it all up electronically
yeah.
in the system, so it will reject your e-file. So then you either have to paper file
uh-huh.
and show the IRS all your documentation about why you're the custodial parent or why you have the
much
release.
Much longer.
Forever. Yeah.
Is that not on the divorce decree?
It oftentimes is on the divorce decree. However, the law, according to the IRS,
uh-huh.
is that whichever parent has the kids the most number of nights during the year
uh-huh.
is the custodial parent, and they have right to claim the kids on the tax return. So no matter what your divorce decree says,
the IRS says,
here's the rule. So they've made an option. You can release that right.
Okay.
You just have to do a Form 8332. And you don't have to file that per se. You just have to have it. Like the spouse that's going to claim the kids that's not the custodial parent.
Uh-huh.
They just need to have that release from the custodial parent that says you can claim them this year.
Okay.
So you can decide. And most of the time, if it's an amicable divorce,
mm-hmm.
then the spouses are great. They just
yeah.
work together. They figure out. Sometimes the divorce decree will say, you know, you claim these kids every other year and these kids every
yeah.
other year. That's the most common thing we see.
Yes.
But sometimes it's worth, if one parent has a much higher income than the other parent
uh-huh.
and it makes a bigger difference to their
yes.
tax return, uh-huh. then sometimes we'll like work something out where we let the non-custodial parent claim the kid and then they pay the custodial parent the difference that it would have made to them or whatever.
That's what happened with ours too. And I never would have known how to do that or that was possible or any of that unless I had a CPA. I had no idea how it worked. And so that's what we were able to do is go every other year claiming different ones until they were all gone. Mm-hmm. And then he would just pay me a certain amount or vice versa or whatever.
Yeah, it's nice when everybody gets along. It's much easier to do it. The other thing we get sometimes is when the exes don't get along, we really can't do both returns. So like if you've been helping both spouses, mm-hmm. but now they don't get along, then I'll either say, I'm sorry, I can't do either of you.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Because it's hard to say, oh, I'm going to favor one over the other when I know their
history.
Well,
and you're not a mediator. I mean, you shouldn't have to be.
Yeah, exactly.
So it looks like we're out of time for today, but I have more questions. So I want to have you back so we can finish the discussion, especially this time of year, because it's tax season.
It is indeed.
Yeah. So quickly remind us where people can find you.
Yeah. So Davis & Bott CPAs in Brigham City. We have a great website. I don't know what it is.
Thank you. It's it's my baby. Thanks. It's davisbott.com.
Oh, that's a hard one.
Yeah, go find it. Go find it. Check out Andrea.
Yep. All of our profiles are listed there. Yeah, we have a great team of CPAs and also
how many
just
CPAs?
Accountants.
We have
a lot.
We have like 13 CPAs.
Yeah. And we also have an office in Tremont. I forget that.
That's true. We do have an office in Tremont, and you also have a great QuickBooks team.
Yes.
Super smart and really good at what they do.
For sure.
And a fantastic admin team.
Absolutely. They're the best.
Okay. Since tax season's upon us, make sure you file correctly and don't get taken advantage of. And like I said, the best way to ensure that that happens is to find yourself an Andrea. A CPA. Don't let making money and filing taxes intimidate you. You got this. Hey, are you spinning in indecision? Maybe you're stuck wondering where or how to move forward. Or are you at the point where you can just take one day at a time? I'm a dating coach and I can help. In my one-to-one coaching calls, we'll talk about where you are now, where you want to be, and how I can help you get there. We can do this. I believe in you. Do you want dating tips? Funny stories and real life experiences on the joys and sorrows of being single? Follow me on Instagram, Dating by Deb, and please interact. I love socializing with you.
Debbie Does Dating with your host, Debbie Clausen, sponsored by Dating by Deb.